Welcome to Commander Naval Air Force Atlantic's Conversations with an MC, a limited podcast series where mass communication specialists sit down and have a conversation with guests. I'm Petty Officer Bonnie Lindsay, and today we are speaking with a chaplain who works here at Commander Naval Air Force Atlantic, also known as CNAO. This individual has an interesting story to tell about his journey in becoming a Navy chaplain after enlisting as a nuclear electronics technician. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, thank you, Petty Officer Lindsay. I'm Commander Bill Stewart, and I'm the force chaplain for CNAO, meaning that I work with many chaplains in air, land, and on the carriers and different air wings. And basically, I'm in charge of ensuring that they are manned and trained and equipped to do the job that they are doing out there with the carriers and air wings.
Sounds like a lot of responsibility.
It's fun.
Well, thank you for joining us today. Just to kick things off, could you tell me a little bit about why you joined the military and what led you to becoming a Navy chaplain?
Wow. Well, I guess I'd start out by saying becoming a chaplain was the last thing on my mind. In fact, it wasn't even in my mind when I joined the Navy. I enlisted in 1984. And to be honest, I had been going to college. I got a full ride, a scholarship as a jazz drummer at a local college. And after I finished that up, the degree I got was in computer science. But I kind of ran out of money. I got some more scholarships, but I realized that those scholarships weren't going to be covering everything. And I was kind of brought up to where if you buy something, you need to have the money for it up front. So about that time, a Navy recruiter approached me, and he was very impressed with my ASVAB score, and I was very impressed with the Nuke ET bonus that he was laying in front of me, saying that I would get that money if I finished up in the nuclear program. So that's what kind of started it all. So I went in and enlisted, but I had a kind of a tragedy happen where one of my good friends, he took his life, and I was about halfway through the program, and I couldn't think for a while. And it was getting to a point where I wasn't able to really take my test and do a lot of things that I needed to do. And there was a great chief that came up to me at that time, and he said, "Hey, Seaman Stewart, we can't keep on going like this." And I said, "I know, I just really having a hard time thinking right now." And he said, "Would you be interested in possibly going into another program? That's a little bit less intensive right now." And I said, "Yeah, I guess so." And so they allowed me to go into another program. And he said, "What would you want to do?" And I said, "Well, I guess get into a field to try to help people not do what my friend just did." And he said, "You know, there's a brand new program out there called Religious Program Specialist. You'd be working with chaplains and helping people and caring for people." He said, "You think you would be interested in that?" And I said, "Yeah, I think that'd be wonderful." And so next thing you know, I did become a religious program specialist. I did that for several years, and it was during that time that I realized that I wanted to go into ministry. Still wasn't really thinking about the chaplaincy necessarily, but I thought I wanted to get out or go into the reserves and go to seminary and start studying how to become a minister or a missionary. And so eventually I stayed in that program for almost 20 years as an RP or religious program specialist. And it was during that time that people started approaching me about becoming a chaplain. And at first I didn't really give it a whole lot of thought, but eventually I did become a chaplain, and that's allowed me to continue serving those who serve in the Navy and Marines and Coast Guard, all the sea services. It allowed me to continue serving and helping people that way by becoming a chaplain. So next thing you know, yeah, I did become eventually a chaplain.
So throughout your reserve career, after you got out of active duty as an RP, you served an additional 20 years as a RP in the reserves?
That's right, almost 20 years total between active duty and reserves, yes.
And during that time, that's when you became a chaplain in the civilian sector?
Yeah, sort of. So as a reservist, again, I was working with chaplains, and I loved being in RP. It was just wonderful. I got to help the chaplains help the people. And but again, towards the end of reserves, I had gone to seminary, and I was working on another degree at that point, and that's where I started being approached. We had a long conversation, my wife and I, and I realized it would take both of us, not just one of us. It had to be a decision for both of us. And eventually, my wife, she said, "Yeah, let's do this, Bill. Let's do this and get back and help other people. And you can, yeah, let's be a chaplain." She's not a chaplain, of course, but I couldn't be a chaplain if it wasn't for her. That's for sure.
So the military, when you were as a reservist, they confronted you and asked you to come back to active service as a chaplain?
Well, first I had become a chaplain as a reservist. And what happened is my unit, NMCB 22, it's a CB battalion, got mobilized over to Iraq in 2005 and 2006. And it was during that time, it was a very, very hard time, very bloody times over there. And when I got back, it was a very successful tour. And it was about that time that active duty started approaching me and say, "Hey, Bill, why don't you come back active duty as a chaplain?" And again, that was another big decision between my wife and I. And we thought, you know what? We're needed right now. Let's do it. We can serve our country by serving others.
So you've experienced the reserves, active duty enlisted, and active duty as a commissioned officer. What challenges have you faced throughout your journey in all these parts of the military?
Well, goodness, I think the benefits and the experiences far outweigh the challenges, but I would say one of the biggest challenges is trying to keep work and life and, you know, that balance with family, you know. So being in the military, of course, you have to be away from your family a lot, especially in the Navy and the sea services. That's been a challenge, but because of my wife and my kids being so accepting of it, we worked through that. And I'll probably get a little emotional telling you, but my wife, she's just amazing. We were stationed in Japan, and I remember one time I was with a destroyer, Squadron 15, over there, and I would call home, and you know, I remember one time saying, you know, "Honey, throw everything out, you know, on the bed." And she said, "You're leaving, aren't you?" I said, "Got about an hour." And so I get home, and I start apologizing like I've done many times through the years, saying, "Honey, I'm sorry." She said, "Bill, do what you do. Go to your other family." And so we've been able to work through it. So that's been one of the biggest challenges. And plus, being a chaplain, it's kind of 24/7, 365. I mean, you never know when somebody's going to need you. And I think if you're passionate and compassionate, you're ready at all times to help people. That's why we do what we do. And I love it, quite frankly.
So earlier you mentioned that the benefits outweigh the negatives. What would be some of the benefits and the best parts of your journey?
People. I had a wonderful upbringing in Oklahoma, outside of a little town called Inola, but we were kind of out in the sticks even from there. And I grew up on, I didn't think it was a farm, but I think it probably, most people would think it was. We had cattle and hogs just to put food on the table. But I really never went anywhere. That was my life, and that's what I knew of the world in the Navy. In fact, there was a slogan or something back then, "Join the Navy and see the world." I had no idea what that meant, and it came true. So my first duty station was at a boomer base or submarine base over in Holyloch, Scotland, and it really opened my eyes. I started seeing people and from all over the world and different cultures, and both in the Navy and throughout, you know, all the journeys and countries that I visited. And it really changed me. It was just beautiful. I started realizing that while people come from all sorts of cultures and amazing cultures, we've got more in common than we ever will have different. And what I mean by that is, goodness, whether it's Iraq or the jungles of Cambodia, or I can go down the list of all the countries, and then also in the Navy, people are people. That's why I discovered people are made beautifully different, but yet we have so much in common too. We want happiness in our lives, and we want to care for our families and put food on the table. And I just can't say enough what the Navy gave me through all of those experiences. It's changed my life and certainly my worldview and how I see people.
So all the experiences that you've had in the Navy and all the accomplishments that you've had throughout your career, accomplishing all those goals is not a small feat. Do you have any advice for other people who are trying to accomplish goals?
I guess I would say, first of all, never give up on your goals and your dreams. You can do it. It just doesn't always end up the same way you think it might. But the experiences that you gain as you're going forward towards your goals, those experiences help you even if your goal ends up changing. I never thought I would be a chaplain when I first entered the Navy, and quite honestly, some of the journeys or goals I had, that journey is what gave me more experiences. And I think people just need to keep moving. Sometimes people are looking for that perfect something out there with their lives. And what I've always told folks is you just got to keep on moving. And I always say, you know, it's like you're at point A and your goal is point C, but you can't get to C without going through B. And don't be surprised if when you get to B that your C or your goal changes. And that's not a bad thing, because you gain all of those experiences working towards that goal. But it may change. In fact, it was on that ship in Holy Loch, Scotland, we went out to sea. We didn't do it very often because we were a submarine tender. But I remember we went out to sea one time and we went dead in the water. It was a very old, rough ship because we were hot iron, or we had to keep running 24/7, 365 because we didn't have shore power. We were out in the lock. The submarines would come to us. But so it was an old ship, and it would break down a lot. And so we broke down again, and we started drifting. The problem was is we had a lot of nuclear weapons on board and torpedoes and everything else you can imagine that we would provide for the submarines. And we started drifting, and everybody kind of started panicking, because we started drifting towards the shore, I guess. And being an old farm boy, I didn't know about ships. I said, well, why can't they just steer the ship to someplace safe? And I remember somebody saying, Seaman Stewart, you idiot. You can't steer the ship if you don't have power and you're not moving. And while I learned something that day about ships, and that's embarrassing now that I didn't know that, it taught me a lesson about life, too. That we can't really steer our lives unless we're moving. The destination may change, but we just can't sit and drift. We have to be moving professionally, I think physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. We have to move all the time in order to succeed in life. We just can't sit around. So I think for people to accomplish their goals, first of all, never give up. Don't worry if they changed. Keep on moving. Keep on moving, and you're going to do great. That's how I feel.
So you mentioned there's always a chance that you're moving from A to C, and your C might change. But do you have any Cs right now that you're hoping to accomplish in your future?
Well, retirement. I can do several more years, and I'm looking forward to that. I love what I do. I love people. I love God, and I think that's why I love people. But there'll come a time where my journey in the Navy will end, but I'm not going to quit moving. My wife and I, we have these dreams of doing more traveling. We love that. So we're both foodies. We like cooking, and I like flowers and gardening. And I look forward to spending more time with my wife. And still now, we're away from each other. So that's what we do in the military, and we have to do. But I look forward to that day where we get to catch up on a lot of things in life. And I want to keep moving in other ways too, to continue helping people, but I want it to be voluntary, and I'll probably help pastors and churches and give them a break and maybe do some missionary work. But that's what I'm looking forward to at this point. So my C, a lot of them out there. And so we'll see. I'm still heading towards B right now.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to Conversations with an MC. Again, I'm Petty Officer Bonnie Lindsay, and I'd like to give a special thanks to Commander Stewart for his time during the making of this episode, and you for listening. Keep a lookout for more episodes where we will once again sit down and have a conversation with guests.